Well, I was going to do a children's story about the notion of seeing as believing and the necessity to have faith through life, but then I thought, no, poor Thomas. That guy is always taking such a beating when this passage from John's Gospel rolls around in the lectionary. So I thought I would give him a break today. And besides the notion of teaching on the passage from Acts and how that first early Christian community shared with one another was too good to pass up, especially in light of Kelly being with us and talking about the home share program this morning. And the Acts reading is the lectionary reading this morning. I didn't add that in to give extra emphasis. God is at work. And let's be honest, I wanted a cookie. But it seems to me that in regards to Thomas, all those other disciples and Mary, they all got to share in an experience seeing Jesus in the upper room. But Thomas, he gets left out. For some reason or another, he's not there. And when he returns, he's told what happens and his response, I don't believe it. And you could maybe read that two ways, as one, I don't believe you, or two, I don't believe it. How could I miss that? I don't know. However, all Thomas really wanted was the same thing that the others got. Like Mary, like the other disciples, Thomas wanted to see Jesus. That's it. I know that we like to apply that old adage of doubting Thomas, but we all know that we are no different. We too want to see Jesus. And this morning, 1 week after Easter Sunday, the words, Christ is risen, have faded from our lips. That was last week. Surely there must be a new word from the Lord, except that we are still in Easter, and Christ is risen. Some of you were probably confused when we sang Joy to the World this morning, because it's a Christmas hymn, or so says the Book of Praise, but I think that that's an every Sunday hymn. Christ is risen. And our readings this morning, they demonstrate an interesting shift in the life of the early church. In John's Gospel, our reading takes place on that first day after Easter and then that corresponding week. The disciples are fearful for their lives and they're hiding out. They don't want to end up on a cross like Jesus. They've heard the good news from Mary that Jesus has risen, but you know that up until they encounter him, doubt lingers. And then we have our reading from Acts, where we witness a bold early church at work. All the believers, not just the disciples, all the believers. And based on what occurs in previous chapters of Acts, we're talking about 5,000 people. Let that sink in. This isn't just the disciples that Acts 4 is talking about. It's all the early believers. And Peter has just been preaching and converting, and they counted their number around 5,000. This group of early believers in the way of Jesus have decided to come together, sell their possessions, and live communally. And not a one of their number was in need. These two readings demonstrate a startling contrast in the life and journey of the early church. The reality is that our passage from Acts is very challenging for us. We are immediately drawn to the sharing of possessions in this passage, and we have difficulty with it. If we are honest, it is because we are selfish, and we vigorously protect our stuff, which reminds me of a great George Carlin bit on stuff. Now everyone's thinking about that and won't hear the rest of the sermon. But I digress. We are slightly selfish. We don't always like to share our possessions or our time. And we all have a possession or two or three, maybe more, that are very precious to us. Think about it. And you know, all of you know, the item I am referring to. I can see it in my mind's eye. This is the item that perhaps when no one else is around, you take out and you look at it. You might even stroke it like you pet a dog, and perhaps you even say, as Gollum in The Lord of the Rings did, "My precious." It's easy to laugh. But most of you are laughing because you know it's true, and the rest of you are hoping that no one else asks you what your item is. We select the things we like. We participate in things we like. We associate with people we like. All true. All individual decisions based on our own needs that are made in isolation of everything else. At home, after the kids are in bed, if I'm downstairs first, I put the game on. Any game. Baseball, hockey, football, whatever. And if there's no game on, I kind of cry. Because that's what I like. And maybe, just maybe, the game will get left on. Or maybe the game will get turned off and something Kate likes will be put on the television. Or perhaps we'll select something we both like. How often have you gone out and tried something new? Maybe it was an exercise class, a social activity, an introduction to a new hobby. And you came home and your response to being asked how it was, it wasn't really for me. I don't think I'll go back. Nothing wrong with that. We tend to participate in things we like and which give us fulfillment. Friends, we are drawn to the matter of possessions in this passage probably because we work hard for the things we have. And we exercise a degree of ownership on them. And therefore, the result of sharing or selling all of our possessions and living communally is very challenging. And I'm not suggesting that we necessarily do that. But what we might ask is, how do we use the resources we do have for the common good? Can the food in my pantry be used to feed someone else who is hungry? What aspect of my time am I willing to sacrifice or offer in order for someone else to have a higher standard of living? And as people of faith, and as a community of faith, we need to name the grace-filled moments in life when true community happens. And the key to this passage in Acts is that after 2,000 years, we still have Christian community. As a community of faith, we are called to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, to model ourselves after those early disciples and those early believers. This morning we heard from Kelly about HomeShare, an easy and innovative, for our time, way to share resources. A way to partner women who have a home with women who do not, or who are at risk of losing their home. And I will tell you that it is shocking, and I don't have numbers, but it is shocking the number of senior women in our community who are precariously housed. It is shocking. What we witness in Acts is the generosity of the early church. And let's not kid ourselves. It wasn't all sunshine and rainbows back then. We know from reading further in Acts that sometimes those early believers didn't get along. They had disagreements. And some of those disagreements were so bad that people went off in different directions. But they were willing to try to set their possessions apart and dedicate things to holy living. And a key aspect to holiness is that we set certain things aside for God's use. What the reading from Acts tells us is that the resurrection was still at work. And we see that resurrection as relationship. And people are drawn closer together through mutual love, trust, and belief. And if we are brave enough, if we are willing to trust enough, we can also participate in this aspect of resurrection by sharing those things that we call precious. Think. Just think for a moment. What might be accomplished in this community if this community of Coburg saw us act out of compassion and love? If Coburg witnessed us living out the resurrection, then think and dream bigger and realize what might be accomplished in the world if we lived as children of the resurrection. No doubting, but believing and working together in concert as a community of faith. Thanks be to God. Amen.